Raised by Soundfest is coming Saturday, December 7th. Go to raisedbysoundfest.com for more information.
7 in Memphis, you're raised by sound.
Welcome once again to the Bagger Mountain Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from the Powerhouse Arts Center in Oxford, Mississippi.
When you're feeling way down low, you got no place to go. Can't call a lover, can't call no friend, can't find a soul.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Welcome once again to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at the Powerhouse Arts Center right here in the heart of downtown Oxford, Mississippi. A fine show for y'all tonight. Some great new original rootsy kind of acoustic tunes from Holly Rumbarger is going to be here. We've got from Memphis, Tennessee, Ping Rose. You will remember that name. Well, you can't forget it now, right? Ping Rose. It starts with the blues and then adds on his improvisation and his influence is a whole new thing. Great guitarist will be here. And then our author, Susan Minot, is here with her book, Don't Be a Stranger. And it is, oh man, it is it's a great one to curl up on the couch and just live it. You inhabit these characters we were talking earlier. You really feel what they're going through, and all they're going through is a 52-year-old woman having an affair with a 35-year-old rock and roll guy. Yeah. But enough about me, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get this thing going. We love our house band. Bring them to the stage. It is the Yellow Bushwhackers. Boy.
Thank you. Given what Jim just said, here's a song about how love doesn't make a whole lot of sense. When the little bluebird who has never said a word starts to sing, sing, sing. When the little bluebell in the bottom of the dell starts to ring, ding, ding. When the little blue clerk in the middle of his work starts to sing to a tune up above. It's just nature, that's all, simply telling us to fall in love. And that's why birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. In Spain, the best upper sets do it. Lithuanians, and let's do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. The Dutch and damn, do it, not to mention the fans, folks in Siam, do it, think of Siamese twins, some Argentines without means, do it, people say in Boston even beans, do it, bushes down an ocean bay. Do it, let's do it, let's fall in love. Cold Cape Cod clams against their wish. Do it, even lazy jellyfish. Do it, let's do it, let's fall in love. Electric eels, I might add, do it, though it shocks him, I know. Why ask if Chad do it? Way to bring me Chad Rowe in shallow shoals, English shoals, do it, goldfish in the privacy of bones. Educated, please do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Let's fall in love. Let's fall in love. Let's do it.
Y'all are bushwhackers, y'all. Let them hear you, please. Jeremy Clement, Slade Lewis, Keon Love up front there, Paul Tate, the Yellow Bushwhackers, our house band. They'll be back later in the show. Thank you. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Is that Cole Porter, Paul? Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the let's is not appropriate with Susan's book because only one of the parties kind of falls in love, unfortunately, and the other one is sitting around waiting for that text that never comes. We know all about that, don't we, Holly? When is he going to call? Is it too soon for me to call him? Should I call him? Should he text me? How many days has it been? Don't you hate all that? You never have that problem, right? I mean, you just straight up, they love you. From the Hattiesburg area, are you, Holly?
That's right.
And tell me the name of these two singles you have out.
So one is called Kintsugi.
Yeah.
The other is called Dead on Arrival.
Now, what Kintsugi? That's an interesting name.
So kintsugi is a Japanese pottery art form where they take broken pieces of ceramic and they put them back together with epoxy and gold flake. And oftentimes, it's considered to be more beautiful once it's broken. And I kind of thought the same about people, so I wrote a song about it.
Absolutely. And parts of this building are the same way, I might add. I just sat down in a chair and it collapsed like vaudeville. It was great. Holly, we're so glad to have you here. Y'all, please, welcome to the stage, Holly Rumbarger.
Crashed onto my glass surface. You turned and ran, just as fast. When the risk was no longer worth it. But you can help me to patch that seam up, repair the splitting in my side, pour molten gold into a broken teacup, so I can hide it if I try. So just like a lone stray, I once was loved. Just to be cast away, when that novelty it ended. But you can help me to patch that seam up, repair the splitting in my side, pour molten gold broken teacup, so I can hide it if I try. You know you can help me to patch that seam up, repair the splitting in my side, until the day comes when it's no longer faded to grasp so firmly to lost time.
Thank you. Thanks so much. This next song I wrote about the worst date I ever went on. It's called Dead on Arrival. Nobody died, he was just a dead fish.
You could read my whole biography and leave me wondering still. Are you that bored of me? Lord knows I've tried, but you don't see me with your eyes wide open. How can that be? It's like long distance love reaching out to hold on, but I'm living in a dream inside my head. Playing telephone, but your side don't want to come through like someone took scissors to the brain. Dead on arrival, you couldn't love me if you tried to. And I just wanna know why. Dead on arrival, I tried to find you, but all that's left is the emptiness inside. Very much alive. somehow. Seems our spark has died. So now I'm going down somewhere, deep in the darker places in my mind. Won't you come inside and lay your head down next to mine? And we can try to find the light. The dead unravel, you couldn't love me if you tried to. And I just wanna know why. Dead on arrival, I try to find you, but all that's left are the secrets that you hide. And I'm ready to start trying. Stop spending my nights crying. There ain't no trying to end, and I just want to know why. Dead on arrival, I try to find you, but all that's left are the remnants of your lies. Dead on arrival, you couldn't love me if you tried to end. I just wanna know why. Dead on arrival, I try to find you, but all that's left is the emptiness inside. And I'm ready to start trying.
Thank you. Just making sure I have enough time to do one more song. But this last song is not out yet. It will be released later this month. This is called Time to Move, and it's about the time that I kicked my no-good, dirty, rotten ex-boyfriend out of the house for good. And it's about just making big changes in your life, you know, when you need to.
Just stop. I'm sick and tired of this routine. You got me messed up and you're in between. I know. So just go. 'Cause I'm sick of waiting for you to show. Show me that you're willing to grow with me. It's time to move. It's time to lose the thing that I've been holding. Where do I begin? Like a prisoner who sits behind bars like I've been accused. But I'm sick and tired of your black and blue. I'm through. So it's time to move. Just who are we but a lost cause? You go down in the books as a lost now free. Can't you see? We're just not where we're supposed to be. So one of us needs to flee the scene, and it's you.
It's time to move. It's time to lose the thing that I've been holding. Where do I begin? Like a prisoner who sits behind bars like I've been accused. But I'm sick and tired of your black and blue. I'm through. It's time to move. It's time to move. Thank you so much.
Holly Rumbarger, y'all. One more time for her. Let her hear you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you. Keep an eye out for her music, those singles, the new one there she mentioned, and, of course, Dead on Arrival. And at Kintsugi, very interesting notion. Thank you, Holly. That sounded very nice. Want to remind you that you're listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us on WUMS, University of Mississippi, WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, WUTC, Community Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Chatta and Mr. Nuga. The stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, the stations of Alabama Public Radio, WUOT in Knoxville, Tennessee, and KNCE, True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. We love them. Also, we'd like to thank the incredible caterers at Kroger for our backstage green room food, ladies and gentlemen. It is delightful. Also, our sponsors, Red Panther Brewing Company, Cathead Distillery, Wonderbird Spirits, Southside Art Gallery, where we will be December 6th, Friday, for our holiday membership party. Y'all are invited. Also, Carol Etheridge Family Foundation, Larry and Michael Johnson Family Foundation, Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, the Freeland Drum Lab, Mississippi Arts Commission, Visit Mississippi, Visit Oxford, Square Books, the mothership, y'all, Yonabatapa Arts Council, Delta Magazine, Mississippi Business Journal, the Mississippi Hills Heritage Area Alliance, the Snooky and Mary Lou Williams Foundation of Water Valley, Mississippi. We love y'all. Yes. You too can be a Thacker backer and keep this party going. More information at thackermountain.org. Keon Love, y'all. Thank you, Keon. He's great. Susan Minot, y'all, is here with us. Her new novel, 10 years in the writing, I understand. 11 years. Woo. Man, imagine. Well, it's that good. Don't Be a Stranger is the name of this, our newest novel. Ivy Cooper is our lead character, 52 years old. There is a romantic collision between her and Ansel Fleming, who is 35 years old, a musician and ex-con. And when this collision happens, their physical chemistry quickly becomes overpowering. I love the Elizabeth Strout quote about your writing. Susan Minot's writing is like a diamond knife on ice. Yeah, y'all please welcome Susan Minot, please.
Thank you.
Now, describe Ansel Fleming for us. He's not the best communicator. He's pretty, especially when it comes to, as we mentioned, texting back and so forth. He's pretty concise.
He is. He's evasive and he disappears. But I would put forth that he actually is not a bad communicator. He's pretty straightforward with her, which, again, is unusual and strikes her. He's very clear about he has no strings on her, right? He wants to be on his own. And if she's interested in that, I mean, he doesn't even put it even that much of a contract. He's just very clear about who he is. And that's appealing in this world where we have a great capacity for self-delusion. And
yes.
People aren't don't always represent themselves.
I mean, it's down to the point where he says, yeah, I'm free for the next hour.
She's like,
I'll
okay.
be right over. and she's no dummy. We don't ever feel like this woman is just so pitiful and desperate. It's not that way at all. It is like
well,
you described.
Well, I hope not, because I made her be a writer and be someone who is very much, you know, thinking about how best to live her life, and is she doing something because someone thinks she ought to, and what's her sort of true intention. And so she's very much, it's not the unexamined life. She's examining her life a lot and doesn't always kind of ascribe to what society tells her she should be doing.
She, as you mentioned, she's a writer and he's a musician. And Ivy says at one point the difference between music and reading, with reading, it requires all of your attention. With music, you can almost be, you know, running around the house doing things, there are totally different art forms. I mean,
yeah, the way a person taking in music doesn't require a lot of attention. You can give music a lot of attention, but it's something that it can reach a lot more people. It requires less sort of processing, but you cannot read a book. You can even watch a movie. You can kind of look at a painting a little bit, but you can't read a book unless you give it your total attention. So that absorption between a reader and a writer is very unique, I think.
She also mentions, and I don't know if you think this is true in what we call real life, but that male writers talk about their writing more than female writers do.
I've noticed that, I think, actually, in my...
That's actually a truism, you think?
I think so, yeah. I think maybe this is a big generalization, but... Maybe men are it's less surprising for people to be interested in what a man is doing than what a woman is doing. So that would tend to, encourage men to just go on about what they're doing.
They're so boring.
don't know. That could be interesting,
Before we hear you read it, some from this wonderful novel, I did want the audience to understand that you have something of a history with Oxford, Mississippi. You've been coming down here, I believe, since the 90s. And around these parts, there's kind of a famous picture of you and all the other writers of Seymour Lawrence, who we knew as Sam Lawrence, who was a great publisher back in those days. And I'm talking about Thomas McGuane, yourself, Jim Harrison's, Barry Hannah's in the picture, Jane Ann Phillips. So you were very much sort of in this almost boys' club, but tell us a bit about Sam.
It was a bit
and
of a boys' club,
Oxford.
Yeah. I actually first came to Oxford in 1978,
wow.
I think, 1979. And I was driving across country and I came to Oxford to, you know, make a pilgrimage to one of my favorite writers, to Roanoke. And because Faulkner was, I was telling you this backstage, but he was the first writer, not who made me want to be a writer, but I sort of wrote kind of obsessively, trying to figure out what I thought. I write in my journals and stuff. But when I read The Sound and the Fury, which I sort of half even understood what was going on,
right.
But it went past my understanding. I mean, I think there's even a line in The Sound. No, it might be in Light and August, but memory believes before knowing remembers.
Oh, yeah.
And that... You know, I was understanding before I even knew what was going on, but I remember reading that book and feeling the world sort of shift in this big way. And I thought, you know, it's like cha-chunk, the world sort of moved. And I didn't think, oh, I want to be a writer. I thought, I want to do that to people.
Ah.
So that was old Bill Faulkner. I really...
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And actually, this book, I think at the heart of it, you know, it's an older woman, which you don't usually read about a 50. She actually turns 53 almost very close to the beginning of the story. So she's mostly 53 and 54. And that isn't usually a heroine of a novel. Not a lot of books about 54-year-old.
There are a lot of aspects of this book that we really haven't seen before.
But it was a Faulkner's, you know, the age-old subject of the heart in conflict with itself
is our
real subject. So that's
what all right. Well, we do want to hear a little bit from this novel again. It's called "Don't Be a Stranger." One more time, y'all, for Susan Mina.
Thank you so much. I'm just going to read two little sections just to give you a taste. And this part is Ivy Cooper, who has an 8-year-old son, Nikki, sort of contending with single motherhood. She's met this man, Ansel Fleming. They had one night together, which was very surprising to her. It sort of happened without any planning. But it's given her a little spring in her step, and it sort of makes her feel how much she'd been sort of trudging along, sort of upset about her divorce, which she's been divorced for about a year. So, life with a child was standing at the counter with a knife and wooden plank, puncturing tomatoes, peeling carrots. It was the stove with a spoon, stacking dishes, upending cups, sweeping, sponging, folding socks, plumping pillows. You filled the laundry basket, unzipped the coat, heeled off boots. There were sounds of the dryer, the cartoon whistling, the water filling a soapy pan, burners lighting with a puff, wrappers tearing, crinkling rain through the open window. It was glancing up and seeing all the places one was not, and herself there in them, tilting on a dusty hill, hauling ropes in tumbling surf, weaving through dark crowds in a moonlit square. She was not kneading bread on stone, examining a patient's bones, not guiding the lost through a mountain pass. No, she was putting napkins under forks and setting 8 plates around the table for the people coming to dinner. It was scrubbing, refolding, crumpling, hugging, pouring, wiping, heating, brushing, corking, and always the thoughts splitting in, is this really my life? Is this the best I can do? Ivy saw how much she'd been dragging herself along, dutifully plodding to the store, dazed as soon as Nikki was asleep, turning to the blue screen to disappear into a movie to fill her stupefied brain. This new joy made her more patient with Nikki. She felt the love for her son like something sharp and also something she would never be able to express. That night, Ivy was brushing her teeth when Nikki called from his bed, wanting to be tucked in. "I'm feeling neglected," he said. "Coming," she laughed. She climbed up onto the loft bed and lay beside him in the gray dark. "Mommy," he said, "did you know that God is everywhere in the air?" "That's what people say," she said, hedging. In the evening, she often heard his ruminations. "Do mermaids pee out of their bosoms? Why does your brain disappear when you close your eyes?" Nikki made his fingers like scissors cutting the air. "That means I'd be snipping God's hair right now." Ivy smiled in the dark. "And," Nikki said, "he's as long as you want him to be." So this other part is she's in bed with Ansel Fleming and dares to sort of say, you know, "What's your story here?" And he basically says, "I have no interest in being in a relationship with anyone. I have a lot of different people I see." And she sort of has a long pause of rumination, which lasts probably a second, but in the book, it's a page and a half. If she had believed this, she would have said to herself, okay, this has been interesting. We've had a lovely moment, and it has given me a real boost. She would have removed herself from his stretched out legs and away from his dense dark arms and have sat up. She would have thanked him and would have said goodbye. But she felt a new self in her, peering down into an unknown canyon. Maybe this canyon would suit this new self. She wouldn't know if she didn't try. She'd always believed in fidelity as a given in a relationship. But what had that guaranteed finally? Maybe it was the time to learn different ways. People generally measured the success of a relationship by time. Endurance was valued over all. But was that the most important thing? Shouldn't the measure be how much love there was, however long that lasted? But then how could love even be measured? Ivy had not sustained an uninterrupted partnership with a man. She had been married to Everett for 10 years, but she had left all the earlier ones. Being with someone in a different, possibly undefined romantic relationship might teach her something. Maybe this was where she'd been working to arrive at all this time. She was older now. She could be more discerning about her body's enthrallment. She'd known pretty many men in various configurations, as boyfriends, flirtations, intrigues, crushes, even affairs, and it made for a long line of sentimental education studded with solid posts of more substantial relationships. Her first longtime boyfriend she'd known since 15, and the ones after were mostly solid and polished, like pearls on a string, one at a time, official boyfriends, this one for 6 months, 2 years, 2 months. There'd been a lot of boys and men around in those days. When they were young, always a new one entering the door, but now the men were mostly gone, into families, into longer commitments. But if you didn't keep with the commitment, you failed. That was how people put it. People rarely said that a relationship or marriage came to its conclusion, or that it ended like a good story in the right place. No, if a marriage ended, it failed. Of course, there were varied geometries of relationships. A parent and a child, for instance, had a relationship with the goal of ending. For a child, leaving the relationship was the goal. The relationship succeeded when it ended. What if people could think of love that way? Once lovers no longer had the same interlocking need for each other, then their time with each other was done, and they would be encouraged to move on. But that wasn't the common wisdom. The common wisdom was that after the first spark of love, love would grow and change and become something else. All of this was considered in a matter of seconds. Most of these thoughts were not new. The part of Ivy that believed in fidelity, in one's body remaining reserved strictly for one's lover, stayed tucked back in the shadows where it had never questioned itself, so certain an aspect of love it was. It may even have slipped behind the dividers in her mind, not needing to see what might happen next. She did not get up. She stayed. Thank you.
Susan Minot, y'all. Susan Minot. Don't be a stranger. The book is from Knopf. And Susan will join us after the show out of the table and sign your copy of Don't Be a Stranger. Quite a wonderful read. You will love Ivy. You will love Nikki and Ansel. Maybe not so much. But great novel. Great 11 years in the writing, and it's all right there. How about Ping Rose, y'all? Originally from Memphis, Tennessee. I understand, Ping, you have moved off. You don't live in Memphis anymore, but you were delighted to come back this way. I love the influences I saw on your website. Jimi Hendrix, George Benson, The Cure, B.B. King, Jerry Reed. Yeah, remember him? Eastbound Down. Prince and Smashing Pumpkins. Yeah, spacey backdrop of funky alternative rock. Well, that's what they say. Sketchbook, one of your fine releases. The newest one, I believe, is called Conjure Man. find out. And also, even newer than that, you got a new single out, I believe an EP called Salty. Yeah, that's some good jam, too. Y'all please welcome Ping Rose.
Drinking water, but my mouth's still dry. I can't shake this headache, baby, 'cause you won't look me in the eye.
This next tune is a little bit more fun. Thank you.
what they really think of me. If they found out that I could set fire to the sea, and I wonder if they'd ever be the same. If on a pretty blue day they all saw me make it rain, but it really don't matter to me. I'm the one who walks the earth as I please. I'm the conjure man. Sometimes I wonder if they'd ever understand once they saw me make a ship sail on dry land. And I wonder how it really made them feel once they found out all the things I do are real. But it really don't matter to me. I'm the one who walks the earth as I please.
So much. Have a good night. I'm Ping Rose.
Ping Rose, y'all. One more time for him. That new EP is called Salty, and he certainly is. Great job, y'all. Thank y'all so much. And thanks for coming home, Ping. I know you've moved to Nashville now. That's where they pedal bars up and down the street. That's nuts. Like, we got fine room to talk. We carry goalposts down the street here, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We've had a great time. One more time for all our guests, if you don't mind. Holly Rumbarger, beautiful songs, beautiful voice. Susan Minot, her new book, Don't Be a Stranger. Susan will join us after the show, sign some copies. One more time for Ping Rose, y'all. Ping Rose. He can play that guitar. We will be here next week for our season finale. Last show of the year, we'll have the great blues legend Charlie Musselwhite will be here, going to play with our Yalla Bushwhackers. You ready for that, Paul Tate? I don't know. You ain't ready. And Willie Flouten will be here. Willie Flouten with his new novel, The Horse. And we'll have the epic funk brass band. And they will be just like you. They sound. They'll be epic. They'll be funky. And they'll be brassy, ladies and gentlemen. Kind of like the Yalla Bushwhackers are yellow. And they're, it doesn't work. All right. We will see y'all next week. We've got our holiday membership party December 6th at Southside Gallery, and more info on keeping this thing going through the winter and beyond on ThackerMountain.com. We love y'all. We'll see you on the radio.
Thacker Mountain Radio Hour's executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front-of-house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Support for WYXR, including the 2024 Raised by Sound Festival, comes from Flipside Asia, a food truck and catering company started by two siblings who were born and raised in Memphis and lived in Asia. Flipside Asia serves fresh, authentic Asian recipes in the Memphis area. Asian flavors, Memphis made. More information at flipsideasia.com. Acoustic Sunday Live, now in its third decade, is proud to support WYXR and to present the Concert to Protect Our Aquifer, taking place at 7 p.m. on Sunday, December 15th at First Congo Church, located at 1000 Cooper Street. Performances by folk and songwriter legends Tom Rush and Steve Forbert, Shakura Saida, and Tim Easton, with special guests Ann Harris and Marcella Simeon. More information at 901-237-2972 or Acoustic Sunday Live.com.
Support for WYXR, including the 2024 Raised by Sound Festival, comes from Memphis Record Pressing. Music makers.